Majesty. Worship His Majesty. Jesus, who died, now glorify, King of all kings. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Permit me to thank Pastor O'Connor and the rest of the praise team for doing a wonderful job. What do you say? For reminding us that He's still our Majesty. Reminding us that we are serving a God who is not dead. For reminding us that we are serving a God who is alive and well. What do you say? And so, as a song, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angel prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal dine. And crown him, and crown him, crown him Lord of all. What a joy it is to call upon the name of God. What a joy it is to be in His presence. What a joy it is to be alive and well. There are many who would have started this week and did not live to see today. And so the mere fact that we are alive, let us not take it for granted, but let us take the opportunity to give God all the honor and all the glory and all the praise that due to His name, because He's still King of Kings and He's still Lord of Lords. Despite of what is going on in your life, despite of the many challenges that you would have encountered throughout this week, the fact still remains that God still remains God. And one day, not long from now, He will come and put an end to all of this stuff that is going on, that is happening in our society. And so, it's a joy to stand before you today to break the bread of life. It is always an honor and a joy. Permit me, before we get into the word, Brother Danelsu, let me know that both he and Sister Danelsu won't be here for the next few weeks. They are heading to Jamaica sometime next week. And so we just want you to pray them up, so that as they go, the pilot, the chief pilot will be King Jesus. What do you say? And so the Lord will take them to Jamaica safely and take them back up to be with us safely. God bless you, brother and sister Danelsu, as you go. All right. Permit me as well to acknowledge all our guests that are here. All our guests who maybe you've come to support one of the two or both of the babies that were dedicated to God today. I want to acknowledge your presence. I want to thank you for bringing the baby and babies to Dunsview to be dedicated to God. And I hope and trust that as you worship with us, even now you'll receive the portion of the blessing that God have in store for us. Time has for spent. It is 12:15, and we need to get into the Word of God. What do you say? And so, the passage that I want to bring to your attention is found in Matthew 18. It's Matthew 18. And if you, Matthew 18, it's going up, and the screen. Verse 18, it says, "Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth
will be loose in heaven. Verse 19 says, again, I say to you that if two of you agreed on earth concerning anything that we may ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, for where two or three or God gather together in no other name but in my name, the Lord said, I am there in the midst of them. The Lord is there. For where two or three are gathered together, touching anything in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The theme for 2026 as a church is Jesus in the mix, 2026. And so, as we conclude the 10 days of prayer, we focus on the month of January and prayer. And so, permit me now to speak to you on the subject when prayer becomes power. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Mighty God, we want to hear from you. And so even now, we anticipate hearing from you. Father, which art in heaven, take your manservant, put him aside, and show up even now as never before. Because someone is here today. Someone is watching via YouTube. Someone is under the hearing of my voice. We have come to hear a word from you. Show up now, Almighty God. Take over and speak, because we are listening. My brothers and sisters, we are living in a critical time, a time when the world is upside down. The time that we are living in is a mess. But thank God for Jesus. Won't you say amen? And so I want to encourage us today as we step into 2026. And our theme, the pastors and elders and the board of directors, we sat down, and it was a difficult one, Bishop, to remember when you called me and you suggested a team, and I suggested teams to you. It was a difficult one, but then we wrapped our minds around it, and then we agreed that the theme will be Jesus in the mix, 2026. Our theme is clear, and our theme is powerful. Jesus in the mix, not Jesus on the side, not Jesus as a backup plan. Are you hearing me, somebody? But Jesus in the middle of everything we touches, but Jesus in the middle of everything we do, but Jesus in the middle of everything we say. And the question we should ask as a church, the question that we need to ask as an individual is simple. How do we keep Jesus, Bishop, in the midst of our homes? The questions that we need to ask as an individual, as a church, is how do we keep Jesus in our decision making? How do we keep Jesus in the midst of our homes, in the midst of our church? How do we keep Jesus in the mix of our struggles? How do we keep Jesus in the mix of our crucibles? The answer is found in one word. The answer, my friends, is found in one word. A P-R-A-Y-E-R, prayer. You see, prayer is not just something we do before meals. Prayer is not something that we do just during crisis. Are you still there with me? Prayer is the invitation that brings Jesus into the mixer. Sometimes we take prayer for granted. But permit me to repeat that prayer is the invitation that brings Jesus into your lives. Let me say it another way for you. Prayer is the invitation that brings Jesus into your crucibles. Prayer is the invitation that brings Jesus into your problems. Prayer is the connection between heaven and earth. Call upon the church today to cultivate a daily, intimate relationship through consistent prayer and reading the Word of God. Prayer is how powerless people tap into a divine power. No, you missed it. And so let me slow it down. Prayer is how powerless people, is how we powerless people tap into a divine power. That's right. Brothers and sisters, if Jesus is to truly be in the mix of your life in 2026, if Jesus ought to truly be in the mix of our life in 2026, then prayer must be the center of our lives. We can't get up and rush to work no more. We can't get up and rush to school anymore. We can't get up and rush to do what we have to do anymore. We must go to our beds with Jesus on our minds. We must wake up in the morning with Jesus on our minds. Say, give me Jesus in the morning. Give me Jesus in the evening. Give me Jesus in the nighttime. Give me Jesus every moment, every minute of my life. Give me Jesus. If we are to be prosperous in 2026, we got to develop a prayer life. Prayer is how we tap into a divine power. Prayer invites Jesus into the mix. Prayer invites Jesus into the mix. If you go back to what we read earlier in Matthew 18, verse 20. If we go back there, it says, I am there in the mix. I am there in the midst of them. I am there in the midst of them. You see, permit me to say, Bishop, I want to believe that the reason why this text was wrote, was because maybe Jesus knew what the condition of the church would be today. You see, you go to churches and God bless if you find a church where the pews are full. But the Bible is saying, Jesus himself in his word, he said, listen, the church doesn't have to fall for him to be in the mix. Where two or three are gathered. This place doesn't have to be filled for Jesus to be here. So if you come in to look to see a full packed church, and because the church is not full and packed, you turn around because you say Jesus is not here. Hey, my God doesn't function that way. The text says, put it back up for us. It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. In the midst of them. He is here today. Notice the wording. Jesus shows up when his people pray together. And not just pray together, but pray together in his name. Prayer is not just talking about God. Prayer is talking with God.
Miss that.
Prayer is not just talking about God, but prayer is talking with God about who you are talking about God with.
When we pray, Jesus enters our decisions. When we pray as a people, Jesus enters our conflict. And when we pray as a church, as an individual, Jesus enters our planning. When we pray as a church, when we pray as an individual, my brothers and sisters, Jesus enters our pains. He enters our frustration. When we pray together, something happens. Angels descend from heaven. And so I have a problem today. I have a problem today. Too many people, too many believers are trying to live the Christian life without consistently praying. Too many of us trying to live the Christian life without consistently praying.
And then we wonder why things feel so heavy. Then we wonder why things feel so confusing and powerless. Brothers and sisters, we cannot expect Jesus to be in the midst of our life in 2026 if we don't invite him in. Revelation 3 verse 20 remind us. Revelation 3 verse 20 remind us. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door." Jesus is saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any woman, if any boy, if any girl hears my voice, if any criminals, if any thief, if any robbers hears my voice, if any husband, if any wives, if any daddy, if any mothers hears my voice and open the door," the word of God says, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. My brothers and sisters, prayer is how we open the door. Jesus himself lived a life of prayer. If anyone could have survived without prayer, it would be Jesus. It would have to be Jesus. But even while Jesus was here, Jesus prayed consistently, friends. In Mark 1 verse 35, Mark 1 verse 35, it tells us that very early in the morning, having risen long while before daylight, very early in the morning. In other words, Bishop, before daylight, he was on his knees. I wish we have more mothers, more fathers, who would have gone down on their knees before daylight and lift up your kids to God in prayer. I wish we have more mothers who would have wake up before daylight and present our children to God in prayer. I wish we have some more men in this city who would have gone down on their knees more often, even before daylight, and talk to God in prayer. The word of God said, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed." And brothers and sisters, before Jesus preached, he prayed. Before he chose disciples, he prayed. Before miracles, he prayed. While he was dying on the cross, he prayed. Even before his disciples were getting ready to betray him, he prayed, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. But not my will, but thine will be done." Too many of us love to tell God how to run our lives. Too many of us want to tell God what is good enough for us, But we don't even understand that we don't even know what is good enough for ourselves. Let us place our problems in the hands of God and leave it there. Are you hearing me, somebody? Let us place our situations in the hands of God and leave it there. Father, you promised to take care of me. Here are my problems. Take them. I am moving. I am not stressing myself because you promised that you will take care of me. That's your business. I'm going to pray. I'm going to intercede. So it is over to you now. I'm moving full speed ahead with confidence because he will take care of me. He will take care of us. No matter what we are going through, he will take care of us. If Jesus needed prayer, my brothers and sisters, to stay aligned with his Father, how much more do we? Prayer keeps Jesus in the mix by aligning our will with his will. Prayer keep Jesus in the mix by giving us strength when emotions are weak. Prayer keep Jesus in the mix by keeping or by helping us obey when obedience is hard. So prayer also changes things and it changes us. Follow me carefully now. Many of us pray only to change the situation. Are you hearing me? Oh, you're sleeping on me now. Prayer are many people prayed only to change the situation. But prayer changes us first. Hello, 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 somebody. Prayer changes us first. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by what? By prayer. In everything, by what? By good looks. In everything, by what? In everything by the knowledge that you have. In everything by the university degree that you have. In everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. Because there is always something to give God thanks for. Did he wake you up this morning? Did he put food on your table? Is there shoe on your feet? Is there a roof above you? Look around. Do you have families around you? Well, give God thanks. In everything, by prayer, the text says, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request, friends of God, the Bible says, let your request be known to God. Let's see what the other verse says. Let's see the next verse. This is a hallelujah moment. And the peace and the what? The peace of God. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Church of God. The peace of God, which surpasses. Oh, mercy, hallelujah. which surpasses all understanding. Will guard his people. Will guard you. Will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Somebody need to say amen. Somebody need to say hallelujah. You see, my brothers and sisters, prayer may not always change the situation immediately, but it will change your attitude. Are you still there with me? Prayer may not always change the situation immediately, but it will change your perspective. Prayer will not always change the situation immediately, but it will change your response. I want to bring message to a close. Just permit me. Permit me a few minutes more as I prepare to wrap up. There's a story in Acts. There's a story in Acts about a man that they throw into prison. His name is Peter. You see, my brothers and sisters, Peter was preaching the gospel in season and out of season. Peter was preaching about the goodness of God morning, noon, and night. But then Elder Lou, the government didn't like it. Hey. The government didn't like it. And so the government decided, LTD, that they are going to stop it. But can you remind somebody that no weapon that is formed against God's church can prosper? No matter how big you think you are, no matter how powerful you are. That's why, my friends, if you put your hands in the hands of God, He will take care of you. The government had a big problem with Peter preaching. And if he had a big problem, Bishop, with Peter preaching, it means that they had a problem with the church. But permit me to remind you that the church might be rocking. It might be rocking. Although the boat look like it's going to overflip, can I tell somebody today that the man on board is Jesus? And as long as Jesus is within our mixer, as I said before, no weapon that is formed against you. Turn to the person next to you now. Turn to the person next to you and tell your neighbor that, say, neighbor, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. In Acts, and it's Acts 12, when you go home, you can read it, time. Don't permit me to go through it. But we take a minute to sum it up and say some more things. Invite us to make a commitment, and then we are on our way for lunch to eat our cornmeal dumpling. Amen. And curry tofu, and curry whatsoever. Amen. It may be. Curry tofu, Elder. And so, don't read me out of church.
So Peter, they lock Peter down. They throw Peter in prison. Throw Peter in prison. It was time of Passover. They wanted to kill Peter. But because of the Passover, you know, Passover is a massive celebration. And so they put off killing Peter. And so the government say, okay, you know what? Leave Peter. So after the Passover, we will deal with him. We'll put off killing him until after the Passover. Mighty God. But I want to share with you. And before I go, while Peter was in prison, they make all provision. They put in place and observe all protocol that Peter should not break out of prison. But guess what happened? There was a massive prison break. It was coordinated. It was planned. It was executed by God. There was a massive prison break. One that was planned, engineered, and executed by God. While Peter was there sleeping, a bright light shine. Someone touches Peter. Say, Peter, get up. Get up. Peter got up. Peter knew that there were three gates that he had to go through. That was heavily guarded by the defense force. Was heavily guarded by soldiers. Police, you name the different way how they can guard the prison. And Peter knew. But the angel of the Lord said, Peter, come. You see, when God says, come, you drop everything and come. The angel said, come. And Peter went. The first gate, he went through smoothly. The second one, he went through smoothly. Finally, the big one, Bishop. Peter thought that, listen to me, we went through the first, the second, maybe no way, the third. The Bible says the door opened up by itself. It was a remote control gate. No one had to touch it. And Peter went out. Hear me carefully. While Peter was in there, the church never organized a protest. Oh, you heard me, somebody? The church did not organize and wrote and pluck card and say, we are demanding justice. No. The Bible say the church was organized. The church didn't panic. The church was organized. The Bible tells us that the church was praying. Permit me to tell you something, somebody. When the church prays, when the church begins to pray, divine power is unleashed. When the church began to pray, hearts align with God's will. When the church starts to pray, unity grows.
When the church start to pray, friends, can I tell you that obstacles heal to miracles? When the church begins to pray, the Holy Spirit empowers believers. When the church begins to pray, the atmosphere changes, and God's presence become tangible. When the church begins to pray, spiritual transformation happens. When the church began to pray, God will deliver his people from temptation. When the church begins to pray, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. When the church begins to pray, God will send angels to rescue his people. Prayer put Jesus into the mix, and miracles follow. My brothers and sisters, time has far spent, and I'm going to bring it to a close now. So permit me to skip all the way to the end of the message. A praying church is a powerful church. Acts 2 verse 42 says, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. The early church was not powerful because of buildings. The early church was not powerful because of budget and the amount of money they had. You are not powerful because of what you have, my brothers and sisters. You are not powerful because of your finances. You are not powerful because of your possessions in life. You are powerful because Jesus is in your lives. When the church prays, the Holy Spirit moves. Unity strengthens. Souls are saved. Faith is revived when the church begins to pray. If we want revival in 2026, if we want spiritual growth in 2026 and beyond, if we want families to restore, if we want marriages to come back together, we must be a praying church. Not just public prayer, not just long prayer, but sincere, consistent, spirit-led, Holy Ghost-filled prayer. And so, as we move forward into this year, Sister Cadrell is coming. As we move forward into this year, let us commit ourselves to practical prayer. Let's commit ourselves to personal prayer. Make time daily, morning or night, in personal prayer with God. Let's pray as a family. Homes that prayer, it says that homes that pray together stay spiritually strong. Let's pray as a church. Attend prayer meetings. Support prayer ministry. Pray for the leadership of the church. Pray for youth ministry. Pray for the different ministries of the church. Pray that God will keep us strong and stronger. Let us pray for the mission. Let us pray in season and out of season. Let us pray in the good times. Let us pray in the bad times. Let us pray when we are experiencing victory. Let us pray when we are sad. Pray without ceasing. Pray on, my brother. Pray on, my sisters. That is how Jesus is going to be in the mix in 2026. Church, prayer is not our last option. Prayer is our first response. And in this new year, in 2026, let us not move without praying. Let us not decide without praying. Let us not serve without praying. When prayer is present, Jesus is present. And when Jesus is present, Bishop, nothing is impossible. If you are feeling down and like you have nowhere to go, if you are like an outcast and as your problem overflow, just remember, my brother, just remember, my sisters, just remember, there is someone. And all it takes is for you to know, because God, oh, he wants to preach to. Just remember that God answer prayer. Just remember,
if you ever
that God
feeling down and like you have,
if it is your decision,
nowhere to go,
if it is your decision,
if you feel it,
to commit
like now
to a more powerful prayer,
as you promise
a more powerful prayer life,
overflow,
I invite you to stand.
Just remember,
as Sister Kadron continues to sing,
there is someone, and all it takes is for you to know that God is
the answer to heaven,
and God answers,
he answers prayer. If you if you are saying, I am committing myself in 2026 and beyond to a more committed prayer life,
and
I invite you to come. Come. Come and let's pray together. Come.
Come. He wipes come. Them for
come.
Me.
Come.
I get down on
don't be
my
afraid
knees.
If you are on this side. Come.
And
come. Come.
Come.
This side here, come, come.
Because one thing
is for certain
that God
he answered prayer. Come, this side, come over here, come. One thing is for certain is that God answers prayer. Come.
And
you may be broken today.
Battered,
you may be feeling battered and bruised.
Strength,
but come.
Will surely come. The means of
come.
All your hearts.
Praise the Lord.
Your battle's already
he's already won.
Just remember. In the hard times.
Yes.
Don't give up.
Don't
say you're done. Because God
is
the answer,
my brother. My sister,
and God
he is the answer.
And
he still answers prayer. Come. Yes.
Oh, and he sees every weakness.
He sees your weakness.
Every trial. Every mountain.
God sees them. He sees them.
Every teardrop.
He sees those tears drop.
He wipes them.
Yes.
He
can wipe them away.
When we get down on my knees,
I know I need mercy.
And I said, Savior,
help me please.
Because one thing is for certain.
One thing
is my God answers prayer.
One thing is for certain.
And he sees every
one thing, my brother,
infirmity.
Every trial.
One thing, my sisters,
every mountain,
that is certain. He still answers cry.
And he sees every teardrop.
He sees those teardrops.
And he wipes them.
He sees those pain that we are going through. He sees
when
those sorrows that we are facing.
On my knees.
He sees them.
And I said, Savior, help me please.
Yes.
Because one thing.
Is for certain.
Certain.
One thing
is my God.
Is for certain.
Suspect.
The answer, he does. Yes,
when
he does.
I get down.
Yes.
On my knees.
He
and
still
I
does.
Said, Savior,
he still answers
please. Because
one thing
is for certain.
One thing is for certain.
Is my God.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. One thing.
One thing is for certain.
I don't know about the bank situation.
It's my God.
I don't know about interest rate next week. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. But my brothers and sisters, one thing
is every weakness.
One thing is for certain. We don't know what is going to happen when we leave this place and go on the outside. But one thing is for certain. One thing we know, that we are still serving a bomb in Gilead. One thing is for certain, that we are serving a God that when we get down on our knees, one thing is for certain. My brothers and sisters who have walked the altar, one thing is for certain, is that when you go down on your knees and you present your problems, you present your situations in the hands of God, one thing is for certain, is that he hears and he will answer our prayer. One thing is for certain.
And he sees every teardrop. And he wipes them.
He sees
for me.
Let's worship today.
When
let's worship.
I get down,
let's worship. Let's worship. Don't keep it back. Let's worship.
And
let's worship.
Savior, help me please.
Get down on your knees and say, Savior! Savior!
Is for certain.
Help me please.
Is that God answers prayer?
Yes.
Yes. He sees every weakness.
Yes.
Every
yes.
trial.
He sees them.
Every
he sees
mountain.
Them. Every mountain. Every problem. Every bad situation.
He sees
that you need to study. He sees that you have an exam coming up. He sees
wipes them.
For me, he sees them.
When I get down on my
yes.
knees,
yes.
and I said, Savior,
help me please.
Help me please.
One thing,
because one thing
is for certain.
Is for certain.
Is that
God answers?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray now. We are going to pray now. One thing is for certain, is that God answer prayer. We're going to pray before we pray. I want to give somebody the opportunity now to say yes to Jesus. I don't know you, I don't know where you came from this morning, today, to come here. But let me tell you something. This is not a mistake. Coming here was ordained by God. You being here was ordained by God. And so, if you're here today, you've not yet accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're saying, preacher, I want you to pray a special prayer for me.
I want you to raise your hands even now. Not yet accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, and you want to say, "Preacher, yes, I know I must accept Him as Lord and Savior. Yes, I know that Jesus died for me. Yes, I know that I must accept Him as Lord and Savior." If you're here and that's you, just raise your hand. Let me pray a special prayer for you. If it's your desire to accept the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, just raise that hand. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, will see.